You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Podcast. It is the start of a new week here, and Monday's action comes from Roscommon. They host a mixed card kicking off at 5:15 this evening. My name is Sam Norris, and joining me on the line, as ever, to cast his knowledgeable eye over the action is Mr. Andy Holding. Morning, Andy.
Hello, Sam.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good, mate. Yeah, looking forward to a new week, fresh start, and all that. Looking back over last week, wasn't really much happening, to be fair. I didn't really get going at all on the Irish stuff. Had a winner yesterday at Dundalk, the odd one or two here, then everywhere, at Trumore. But yeah, I found last week a real difficult selecting process. Couldn't get anything going, really.
And a little bit from both codes tonight at Roscommon.
Yeah, that helps, yeah. If you're not doing well on the one, you've always got the jumps to go, bail you out of trouble, I suppose. So a nice little mix, nice little split.
Yeah, absolutely. We also should get a pretty true surface to go in good to firm in places, which is handy after, both domestic-wise and Ireland. It's been a bit of a wet summer, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to make too many excuses, because obviously, you dig out soft ground form, but I think one or two of the results have gone a little bit more onto a sticky wicket because of the rain they've had in Ireland. Pretty much, I would say, majority of last week's stuff was involving heavy showers and changing ground conditions, blah, blah, blah. So that does always, put the cat amongst the pigeons. So, yeah, you're right. Tonight, good to firm in places. No rain forecast. No excuses.
Yeah, shouldn't affect the action tonight. We'll crack on then. As I say, Roscommon on the agenda on this Monday evening. Their first race comes up at 5:15 with a 7-furlong auction race. And Roy Beard heads affairs at 9-4 this morning. 4-1 for Last Waltz. Mr. Michael is 9-2. 11-2 for Henshaw. Wexford Voice is 11s. And it's 12s bar those. We'll start with this favourite. Joe Lyons won the race last year and has the favourite again in the shape of Roy Beard, who was a winner on debut, Andy.
Yeah, he was. Nicely backed as well, or certainly well enough fancy to suggest that he would run a nice race. And he did just that as well. He went off favourite and he beat a reasonable field quite comfortably in the end. The time of the race is just average. He's obviously not one of Joe Lyons' superstars, but to be fair, he's up against a bunch of opposition to that probably are in that same sort of category. So he probably just about deserves to be a worthy favourite on what we've seen. But there is a couple lurking in behind him that I think will certainly improve and give him a race. One of them is Last Waltz, who caught the Iron Debut over what turned out to be an inadequate 5 furlongs behind a really nice horse of Edward Lynham's called Promise Money, who's gone on to win a pattern race subsequently. And she just got a little bit out of pace before staying on quite well in the latter strides of that race. Definitely going on at the finish. Certainly indicated that 5 furlongs is way too short for her. She's upped in trip today, more in keeping with her pedigree by Daniel Dancer out of a Trampolino mare. 7 furlongs would almost be even minimalistic for her based on her first run. So 4-1 this morning with William Hill. She does make quite a bit of each-way appeal. And I certainly think Mr. Michael will run okay as well. He ran a decent enough race down in Galway the other day, staying on quite strongly from the back of the field. He was very well back that day. Probably found the soft ground just to his undoing in the end. But certainly wouldn't rule him out, neither Henshaw as well, as a course and distance winner. So a decent opening contest there for the two-year-olds. But at 4-1 this morning, I don't think we could go too far wrong backing Last Waltz each way.
OK, Last Waltz then getting the pick in the opener then for Andy. We'll move on to the next race on the card coming up at 5:45. This one is a 7-furlong handicap, 14 of them down to take their chance in this one. It's joint favourites at the time recording. Greek Canyon and Empress Tora are 6-1, 7-1 Captain Cullen, Rochdale House is 8-1, 9-1 for Joe Isle at 10s bar those. 6-1 the field, Andy. This looks wide open.
Absolutely, yeah. I was sort of scratching my head until it bled this morning trying to work out this one. I've ended up coming down on the side of Empress Tora in the end, largely based on her performance last time at court, but also her track form. Often in these cases, when I've got several names to throw into the hat, I'll try and disregard a few that haven't run at the track, which meant that Great Canyon, who was on the shortlist, had to go, and obviously Rochdale House as well. The other one to mention, who I'll get onto in a second, is Captain Cullen. But I'll talk about Empress Tora to begin with. As I said, she beat a horse I napped the other day called Octavian. Octavian missed the break the other day and obviously had to use a bit of energy to get to the front, and that was ultimately her undoing. But I always felt, to be fair, that Sabrina Harty's four-year-old was always lurking like a menacing presence, almost like the Grim Reaper in behind me. And it was just a matter of time before she was going to go by Edward Lynham's filly, and she did in the end. She also proved now that she's probably equally effective over shorter distances than the mile and a quarter that she was plying a trade in largely last year. She, of course, won here over at this distance when getting the better of a short of a wild finish. So she's got plenty of tactical speed now. She goes well around the track. She also stays well, which I think you'll need tonight, because they're going to go a good gallop. And I just slightly prefer her over Captain Cullen, who is the other course and distance winner in the field, who also comes here off the back of a good win the last day down in the Curragh. That horse is in great form. So it was a spin of the coin between those two, but I've gone with Empress Tora. Hopefully she can justify my my confidence.
Empress Tora then, Frandy, available at 6-1 at the time of recording. The next race on the card comes up at 6:15. This one is a handicap over a mile and two furlongs. Jesmond Lodge is your 11-4 favourite for this one. 4-1, Liffey View. Cocoon is 6-1. Same price by Alertness. Catchy Last, 7-1. Corker Hills, 8. 9-1 for Acid. And Hillary is 10-1, completing the lineup. And in this favourite here, Jesmond Lodge, we've got a horse reverting back to the flat from hurdles. What are her chances?
Well, they're certainly very, very big, but she could probably have done with a little bit more rain to be a real confident selection. I certainly think she's going to take a bit of beating here, on the evidence of what she's been doing over hurdles. She bounced back to form with a really good victory down in Sligo when the ground was heavy, making all the running, never looked like ever relinquishing the lead. And to be fair, she was in the process of probably following up that success when she tipped up at the last down in Ballinrobe the other day, when looking as though she was going to add to that success. Now, both of those two performances are on soft or heavy ground, so she obviously needs a decent test of stamina. So you'd imagine that her jockey here would be asked to force the issue from the front and try and make it a decent test, because one or two of these would probably have a lot of basic speed or more basic speed than her. The only problem is with the opposition. A lot of them are very difficult to assess at this very moment in time. Corker Hill, I've almost given up with her. She was wildly impressive on the clock 4 starts ago, and she bolted up down in the Curragh, but she's subsequently gone backwards. Whether she just bounced off of that run and she hasn't been able to recover from it, I don't know. You've got Liffey View, who's been knocking at the door, but the door still remains fairly slammed in her face. And you've got Cocoon, which is also another difficult one to assess. She's been running in group races, listed races, and when you get horses like that, you don't really know what kind of shape they're in coming back into the normal handicap company. So an absolute nightmare of a race, really, to get your head round. I think Jesmond Lodge would have been almost like nap material, really, had the ground been soft or heavy. But being as it's good, she's probably just worth a small interest, but only a minimal one.
OK, Jesmond Lodge then, that's 6:15, but proceed with caution would be the advice for that one. 6:45 then, it's the next race on the card, a mile and a half handicap here, where Glendale's Beast heads affairs at 5-1. 11-2 for Liberty's Gift. Mazetta is 8-1. It's also 8-1 for Ho Ho. Grandma Dottie is 9 from 12. It's 10-1 by those. 19 runners here, so plenty to choose from, Andy. Which ones count?
Yeah, this is a race I'm quite interested in here. I think there's one that's just sneaked under the radar to a degree with most bookmakers this morning. You can get 10-1 with William Hill. Generally a double-figure quotes for Thomas Gibney's six-year-old, Two Chews, who has only ever won the one race on the flat. And lo and behold, it was here over this course back in 2013. But he does return to the scene of that victory off a very favourable mark compared to what now is a blossoming hurdle rating. He's been running excellently over timber throughout the last few months. He arrives here off the back of an excellent effort down in Galway in a fiercely competitive Guinness-Galway hurdle, which went the way of the Willie Mullins-trained Vive La France. Actually, it was a race where there was lots of fancy... Sorry, it was Tony Martin-trained Vive La France, I beg your pardon. It was a 1-2 for Tony Martin. He had the plan man. But you look at the horses that were in that race, Tandem, the likes of Gambling Girl, Smiler, Tribes and Banner, Rupert Lamb. Mr. Diablo, Riviera Sun, who was very strongly fancied. I mean, these are decent 0-125 handicap hurdlers, and to choose ran a really good race from just slightly out the handicap, indicating that he's right on top of his game at the moment. Prior to that, he'd won really well in Belliestown. He'd also been running well throughout the sort of like the late spring period when he won at Fairy House as well in a big field when he beat 22 horses. So he's right on top of his game at the moment, this horse. And of course, now he comes back onto the flat off a very favourable mark. He's actually running off a good deal lower than what he was in the past. Plus the fact he's also got Mikey Flanagan to take 7 off. So he races off a mark here of 56. So he's going to feel as though he's running loose here tonight. He's up in trip, which I think is fine. So let's get stuck into Two Chews, who I think is grossly overpriced at 10-1 in the 6:45.
Two Chews then getting the vote in the 6:45 then for Andy. The next race on the card comes up at 7:15. This one is a 2-mile maiden hurdle for the 3-year-olds. So time to get your hurdle hat on for the last three races. King Christophe's the 2-1 favourite here. Lake Champlain is 5-1. It's also 5-1 about Officer Sydney. Social Climber is 7-1. Bigger prices for the rest of them. What did you make of these juvenile hurdlers, Andy?
Well, King Christophe certainly has got the most class of these anyway, certainly if you base it on his flat performances, and that's how the market shifted on his debut over Timber down in Roscommon the other day. He ran okay behind Rashan, who was a bit of an unexpected winner there, went off at 33-1. There was good money for Lagos de Vegas as well, had been running well on the flat prior to that victory, and that horse finished second, so there is a little bit of substance to it. Just didn't quite get home. He was actually ultimately a little bit disappointing for me, considering he'd been running in mile and a half, mile and a quarter races to a decent standard. He's got a rating of 83. So whether he's going to make into a real hard-knocking, staying juvenile hurdler, obviously happens to debate. The only thing we've got in his favour, of course, is his ability to jump. We know he jumps. But there are one or two lurkers here that could offer a little bit of resistance if they can jump. Obviously, their main three being Lake Champlain, Officer Sydney and Social Climber. And of those three, I think Social Climber is worth half a look here. He's got a little bit of upside. He comes here via a series of decent runs on the flat. He won 3 starts ago down in Garen, and he's followed that up with 2 reasonable efforts subsequently. He finished 4th here the other day in a race that was won by Azuri, so he's got a bit of track form as well. Kevin Prendergast wouldn't necessarily be renowned for his horses over hurdles, but he does have a horse called Katie T, of course, who won the big handicap hurdle, ball sports hurdle, over the Christmas period. So when he's got a decent hurdler, he knows what to do with him. So hopefully this horse's schooling's gone okay. Round about 7-1 this morning. Just a very, very small look at Social Climber would be the order of the day there.
Okay, Social Climber then in the 7:15. 7:45 is the penultimate race on the card. This one is a 2-mile mare's handicap hurdle. Presenting Marlet is your 3-1 favourite here. 7-2 about Chris Kindle. The absent mare is 4-1. Wait and see is 6s from 8. 8-1 for Havana Dancer at 12s bar those. What are you going for here?
Yeah, I want to stick with my old friend here, Chris Kindle. She rather was disappointing the other day, even though I managed to tip the winner in that race, Damut, who landed a bit of a gamble. The ground would probably just have been on the soft side for her, and given that Cork is a front-runner's track and you need to be handy, she found herself in the rear and never really progressed that significantly late on. She did, you know, ran through beaten horses to finish 8th in the end, but that was a strong race, that was. There was plenty of in-form fancies horses. They went a good gallop, and perhaps that sort of kind of tough handicap company was just a little bit much for her. But she drops back into her own sex today against mares. And when she does that, she's pretty good, as she proved 2 starts ago when winning in Killarney. She actually stays quite strongly behind at 2 miles. She gets 2.5 well. So that'll stand her in good stead, because turning in here at Roscommon, it's all uphill. Her opposition, largely speaking, a fairly average and largely disappointing. Presenting Marla, consistent though she is, has yet to win a race over hurdles. The absent mare, I fancied her the other day down in Downpatrick, and she showed absolutely nothing. And Wait and See would probably be one of the main dangers if she can improve upon a slightly disappointing run the other day down in Cork. But I do think Chris Kindle, if you scrap that run last time out, which wasn't a bad one in the coal light of day, I think she's got a real solid each-way look here. I thought she'd be shorter than what she usually gets, sort of 4-1, 9-2 in most firms this morning, and that would represent a fair each-way bet.
Okay, fair enough. Andy's thoughts on the 7:45 then. We'll move to the final race of the night on Monday from Roscommon. The 8:15 is a 2.5-mile maiden hurdle. And Ultimate Horseman is the 11-10 favourite here. 3-1 for Bay of Freedom. Little Mitch is 8-1. It's 12s. But those Ultimate Horseman's got all the right connections. Gigginstown owned. Gordon Elliott trained. Jack Kennedy on board. But runner-up on his last five starts. Is he short enough here, Andy?
Well, I think he's about the right price, to be fair. Because, again, it's the opposition, which is weak. I mean, bookmakers have got no alternative, really. He's got plenty of solid form. I just think he's been a tad unlucky. I mean, you couldn't fault his tenacity the other day down in Downpatrick. He just got beat by a Mullins trained horse that just saw it out better than he did, but he went all the way to the line, and you know, that was a decent return. He's still looking for his elusive win over hurdles, but it's not as if he can't win, because he's won before over on in a bumper. But it's just the opposition he's been taking on, which indicates to me that this race certainly would offer him his best opportunity so far to date. He's got the blinkers on for the first time, which I hopefully will just sort of concentrate his mind if there is a little bit of a wayward tendency in him. And he's also dropping back down in trip as well. He's been running over 3 miles, which, you know, places around like Downpatrick, 3 miles around there, when you've got to face an uphill climb, that really does test you out. So I think this flatter track will definitely suit him, and hopefully he can finally get his head in front.
Okay, Ultimate Horseman then getting the pick in the final race of the day for Andy. Just remind us, please, then, of your selections for Roscommon's action on Monday night.
Yeah, competitive stuff for Roscommon tonight. I'll begin with the 2-year-old race and select Last Waltz each way at 4-1. Once again, another each way selection in the shape of Empress Tour in the 5:45. Desmond Lodge could have done with the ground a little bit more softer than what she's going to be finding, but hopefully she'll be good enough there. Manapa the Knight is in the 6:45 two twos. I think it's incredibly well handicapped returning to the flat. The 7:15, a trappy old main hurdle there, because we don't know really what to expect with many of these. But Social Climber's not a bad horse on the level, so let's go with him. 7:45, confident vote each way with Chris Kindle. And in the final race, hopefully the favourite will get his head in front today, Ultimate Horseman.
OK, there we are. Lovely stuff. Andy Holding's thoughts on Monday night's action from Roscommon. You're here every race live on William Hill Racing Radio in the company of Mick Norton, Gary Capel and Ollie Pimlott. They'll also be bringing the afternoon cars from Thirsk and Kempton. And alongside Roscommon, we've got Chelmsford City and Windsor on this Monday evening. So do join us for all of that from 2 p.m. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, Andy, and best of luck tonight.
Cheers, Sam. Thanks, pal.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.